Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings. This is your host, Mama Seven, and we are doing radio. We're in the classroom right now, learning, building, developing ourselves, trying to understand this whole reality. This is where we are, and we're doing it together. Please understand, you're not in this by yourself. You are not in this by yourself. If you've been looking for a lightsaber to be thrown out to you, now is the time. If you're looking and you've been asking God, God, I need some help. I need some good people around me. This is your sign. If you have been waiting for the opportunity just to grow and develop yourself, if you've taken yourself as far as you can, and it's time to build with someone else, this is your sign. We're all in this together. So let's try to work and build with one another. Okay? Man, it's been a busy week. Last week, oh my goodness, last week's show was so powerful. I can't find another word for it. So powerful. It definitely gave a whole lot. And it had me thinking, oh, my goodness, this is what I need to do. I need to spend some more time with this. We were speaking about the art of practicing. The art of practicing, this is when we are practicing commanding our spirit, okay? This is when we're practicing and going over that great I am. So as we are discovering the great I am, also it's important that we recognize that part of the I am is referring to us as individuals. And it's like, what are you telling yourself to do? What are you commanding your spirit to do? I am wonderful. Or are you saying, I am broke? I am broken. I am tired. I can't go. There's so many things that when you say, I am, what follows is the command you give your spirit. So we have to be very, very, very cautious about what we're commanding our spirit to be. So this is where our great affirmations come in. You know, and so last week we were speaking about the importance of commanding your spirit positively. We were speaking about the importance of being intentional and aware when you are commanding your spirit. So it's a great show to listen to, but it's also really super duper important that we take the time to say, hey, this is touching my spirit. And so I needed to be clean and pure. I needed to be practiced. I needed to be intentional because I don't want to give my spirit any junk. Don't want to do it. Wonderful program. If you get a chance, list it up in your life. Practicing being intentional with your words. So this is where that was that program. And then last night, we had the energy report with Sister Unique. It was an awesome program. I sat down, I had to call in and ask a couple questions myself, and I made my notes, and I'm trying to be more aware of the energy that I'm placing my fire on top of fire sign in, because what I don't want to do is rush my fire sign in there, and we're getting drenched in this damp energy. I'm like, oh, no, this is not it. So if you have any questions about what energy we're currently in, how do you navigate this energy? Because oftentimes I don't realize I'm in some energy until I'm knee deep in it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. I think there's something universal going on. And so the energy report was absolutely awesome. Get a chance, check it out. I'm going to make sure to post it. You can always go to Blog Talk and check it out. Report from last night. Great information. Do it with your pen and paper. Stop playing. And then tomorrow we have Sister Khadija with the DJ Cafe dealing with entrepreneurs and networking and marketing and all this great stuff that I keep pushing on my entrepreneurs to do. And guess what? It's only going to get worse, family. I spent about 3-4 hours today working on a wonderful approach. And not just in my prayers, not just in my own personal studies. I do that every day. But this was a business meeting. I had a business meeting with my wonderful approach board, which, you know, consists of me. And so I'm sitting here, and we're building and building and building and building. And I was like, wait a minute. Are all my entrepreneurs doing this? I had to look up for a second and be like, wait a minute. Why am I down here knee-deep in paperwork, scratched off paperwork, Word, Excel, PowerPoint? Why am I the only one here? And so don't worry. I'm going to get the answer to that question because I'm going to be expecting to see what are my entrepreneurs doing, you know, and not just tell me, just be like, oh, Mama 7, this is what we're doing, but saying it in a way that we can all be supportive. You know, how does – I had a friend of mine tell me, he was like, you know, you have a lot of influence. And I was like, no, I don't have a lot of influence. I got a lot of work. I don't have a lot of influence. He said, no, think about it. You got a lot of influence. And I was like, I'm going to take it. I'll just take it. So if we have influence, what are we influencing people to do and to be and to build? So entrepreneurs, I want to get those reports. I'm working on this. I'm building that. This is what we're working on. So that program is tomorrow at 7. I love the program. It's a great reminder for me to be like, hey, let's get to work on this thing, right? All right, and then tonight, oh, my goodness, Love in the Meantime. Now, you know, these love shows are not my thing. This is not me. You know that I am being absolutely forced to be here. And this has probably been brewing since last Wednesday. The second that program was over, Spirit was like, we need some love. And I said, hold on now. Hold on. This is not my thing. But 100%. It's important that we share words and that we build on what we are doing and what we're supposed to be doing in the meantime. Emphasis on the mean. What are we doing? So first thing, so this is going to be one of those kind of programs, all right? You can feel free to rescue me. All you got to do is press 1. That rescues me from this hot lava that we're about to step on, okay? I'm going to tell you, be brave, all right? This program is going to require a level of bravery that I see usually in retreat. And usually when I see it in the retreat, it's after I've had to chase you all around this mountain, and then you decide, once I've cornered you, then you're like, okay, I'll be brave. So bravery is not always, it doesn't mean that you're gung-ho. It means that you can be scared to death, but you're still going to move forward. That's bravery, okay? This is what we're working on. This is what we're building. We're trying to be brave in the middle of all this, okay? That means in this particular instance, listen with an open heart. Because you're going to think I'm talking about you when I'm really talking about myself. But I'm going to need you to listen with that open heart. I'm going to need you to listen with an open mind, okay? Don't start getting defensive with me. I can already hear it. I can feel it. Everybody's butt just clenched up. I'm going to need you to undo that. I think it's unhealthy. You know, we're going to have to really work through this, okay? And you being you / me, being defensive with you / me, that's not getting us anywhere. Not at all. And then the last thing, you know, this is the disclaimer, okay? Walk in the door with the intentions on learning. Walk in the door with the intentions to gain I came here to gain, and then let spirit direct your gain, okay? But make sure that you walk in this door with an expectation that there is going to be some nugget of wisdom from myself or from any of the callers that call in. You know, there's going to be some wisdom in here, all right? Because this, the heart, oh my goodness. They say that now, you know, we've seen what the brain looks right. Looks like a bunch of noodles, all little twists and turns. And every time I look at that brain, I'm like, ooh, it's easy to get lost in there. There's 1,000 turns in there. It's so easy to get lost in there. Well, I think the heart is the same way. Even though the heart has chambers and, oh, my goodness, but there's so many little pockets in that heart where you can easily get lost. So this is what we're going to have to go into this program with, all right? So, you know, tie a little safety rope around us. You know, we'll be able to pull and get up out of this conversation. Don't worry. This is not the Matrix. We're not going to get stuck in here. This is only an hour program. I've already used 48. I've already used 11 minutes. So this will come to an end, but we're going to have to go through this. We have to go through it. We're going to hold hands and be brave and go through it, okay? First, I have to let you know that, you know, we're sitting here talking about love in the meantime. And, you know, the first thing that Spirit is challenging me on is, do you know what love is? And the answer is, I think everyone has a general understanding of what we would like love to be. I know what I want love to be. And it comes from a mixture of movies, some TV shows, some of my favorite couples that I have seen. And I'm like, ooh, some of that sure would be good with some ice cream, you know. So I think we all have an idea of what we want love to be or what we don't want it to be. But often, you know, we think we know what we want, but there's another person involved. I tell people, I would have been married if it hadn't been for, it requires another person. There's another person involved. So as much as I have my own love language, I have my own ideas, my own opinions, my own, I don't know how to create this loving bond between these two people. I don't know what happens when A's love and person B's love get put on the table. Everybody's talking about the table. Get put on the table. Then what is it? What is it called at that time? What do we do with the extra L's? You know, how do we make this work? So what I find is that we don't have a good understanding of love. We know what want is. We may have a good idea of lust. We may have a good idea of physical desires, physical expressions. But that love, that romantic love, what is romantic language, that can be a little more difficult to understand. So we're going to be spending some time with that. I'm going to need my love gurus to come forward and say, hey, let me share with you what I have experienced love to be, especially love in the meantime, okay? So we got, hold on, 1, 2, 3, 4 places I went into the meantime, and I tried to label what is this meantime called in that meantime that we're going to explore about what it takes to be there and then to get out of there. We don't want to be in the meantime. That's not cool. But I got a caller that would like to speak. You know, let's share, let's build. How do we go and think about this love in the meantime? It can be vicious now, family. Let's see here. Greetings, welcome to the program.
Alafia, greetings. Peace. How are Alafia, you, my sister?
What over here?
A girl, you said save you. I was like, let me press one. Let me get.
Look, I'm sweating. I'm sweating over here. I'm sweating. Woo!
I already know what it is. Good evening, family. Ooh, woo. This is a good topic. It's interesting because love has been my theme of the day. Amen. I woke up, it's so crazy because it's like everything that I watched a video, it was on healing. I watched another video, you know, I'm listening to a song, love, this and that, you know, thoughts, downloads, dreams. I'm just like, okay. And then I'm listening to you. I'm like, what? All right. So yep. This is the end of the yep. evening. So this is what yep. I've learned throughout the day. All right. And I love that you chose love in the meantime. Because,
yes, ma'am.
First of all, when we deal with precision of language, we have to understand that our thoughts become our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes, they do.
when we speak it, it becomes our reality. And so a lot of times we pray and ask God, and God is such a magnificent God. Oh, my gosh. God is so loving and caring and merciful to us that when we pray and we ask for something, we get it.
Yes,
you know? However, are you ready for what you pray for? Are you ready? You know, because a lot of times we have this whole list. I had a whole entire list on my
mm-hmm.
wall near my love altar of the type of man that I wanted. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And
yep.
all of those things were checked off. Great. Ever. In the midst of all of that and prior to that, in the meantime, there were things that I didn't realize that I had to heal from in order
yeah.
to really be prepared for that relationship. And it's a lot of things
absolutely.
That we don't know that we need to heal from before we get into relationships. One of those are child of our past relationships. Oh, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might be. But the reason why you were in that relationship was because another relationship that you had, and it
absolutely.
Might have been the relationship with yourself, the relationship with your family, the relationship with your friends, the relationships that constrictions that were put on you, you know, whether it's with the world. There's things that we have to heal from, and we have to identify, you know. There are cultural
mm-hmm.
things that are placed on us, on, you know, things that the way relationships were in the 40s and 50s is totally different than the way they are in this 21st century.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And if, and you know, we're that, what they call that Generation X, so we are right there where those changes were being made. So there are a lot of
right.
beliefs that were placed on us about love, and not just
mm-hmm.
loving somebody else, but loving ourselves. You know, there are so many hurt brothers out there that don't understand or think that crying is not masculine, or that they really can't
yep.
express themselves. And we're sitting there like, you're not talking to me. He's like, I really don't have the words. Like, I really don't
right.
know what to say. You know?
Right.
So they throw money at the situation.
And sometimes that's an honest reality. I don't know.
And that's
I don't know what to say.
I really
don't know what
don't
to do.
Know. I don't know what to do, you know what I'm saying? And because we think that because we're at a certain age, that means that we're stuck in our ways, or we can't
mm-hmm.
grow, or we can't expand. But we know that's not to be true. We know that's not true. You know, and the more that we really understand about energy, the more energy expands. You know, like we was talking yesterday, how we're in this Jupiter Taurus. It's about expansion. You know, the energy is, but the energy is going to expand on whatever aspect of your life that you are thinking. If you've been doing your work, if you've been doing your healing work, you've been handling your business, it's going to expand that way. If you've been only complaining and you feeling like, you know, things ain't good for you, it's going to expand that way. You know,
absolutely.
So we have to heal from a lot of those things that we that we've had in the past. Then we also
have
to learn how to release. I bless you and I release it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but at the same time, but that's that mean part that you was talking about. Because when somebody hurts you, you know, when somebody hurts you, you like, when somebody hurts you and then you don't have a good closure,
mm-hmm.
you know, because when we show up, our representatives show up in the beginning of the relationship, But then when the relationship ends, we feel like it has to end dirty. Who said that we have to have a falling out? And I got to talk you, and you got to talk about me, and we got to feel this type of way. Why? Why can't we just say, you know what? I wish the best for you, you know, and I hope that it works out. But right now, this is not where I'm at. This is not where you're at, and I release you.
Amen.
I release that energy. You know, I release you back, and I set you free. What's the saying? If it's meant to
be, you love it, you let it go.
If you love it, you let it go. You let it go.
And, you know, that.
And
that leads right into this meantime. And we got to get into the meantime because people are taking that personal. You know what I'm saying? So, Sister Unique, thank you so much for calling in and sharing.
Yes,
my love guru. I got two love gurus. And they can pull that love out, and they're so patient with it. And I'm like, yeah, bump that. But no. I so appreciate
it. I was like, no, please, no, sing a song.
Right. Right. I mean, my love guru, they'd be like, we can try it one more time. I'm like, I don't know who we is. But thank you so much for pumping up our love and giving, look, for real, we can make it through. We just have to be open and honest about it. So in the meantime, the first, when I walked into this meantime, there's four areas that I saw, my eyeballs, my view. One, the first meantime that I saw was just life. Life has led us to this point where we don't have romantic companionship. We could be going through school. We could be just in a mental place where a relationship is not necessary, not healthy. And there are places and spaces in our life that we were always supposed to do alone, always. Part of our lesson in this understanding, we were supposed to learn this lesson by ourselves. We had, in order for us to get all the information, all the blessings, all the everything, so that we don't have to repeat this lesson, we had to do it by ourselves. And so sometimes the meantime is just life. It's an opportunity to spend more time reading. It's an opportunity for you to finish up. Now, we don't take the meantime personal. Don't believe, not for one second, that you are being punished for something. We have to really look at the meantime as almost this waiting room. We're in a waiting room. Now, if you've ever been in a waiting room for too long, like me, I get very excited. I'm asking the lady, yo, Miss Nurse Lady, how long is this going to be? You said 10 minutes ago. And so, you know, no one wants to wait. No one wants to be sitting there bored. I don't want your little magazine. I want to hurry up and get out of this waiting room. But you're in the waiting room for a reason. You need the doctor. You need this. There's something that's making you wait. And so that's why you got to do it. So absolutely. Also, I got a note. And I'm going to get this chat thing working. I'm working on all this. But how about the idea of it's happening for me, not to me? How about that? So don't get mentally preoccupied with this waiting room. Don't let you become so obsessed with getting out of the waiting room that you're leaving like I've done. I have walked there, waited all of 7 minutes, and left. Guess what? I needed the wait, and I needed the help, but I didn't want to wait. So part of the meantime is just life. Just wait. Just be patient, right? The next part of the meantime, emphasis on the mean, is right after a romantic breakup. Right after a romantic breakup, everything that you thought you knew about love is wrong. The whole other species is the devil. Right after a breakup is when we feel justified for ill feelings, for ill behaviors, for ill thoughts. I can tell you, and you can sit here and you can shake your head if you want to, you are never justified for ill behaviors, ill feelings, and ill thoughts. You're just not. The world will make you think that, oh, he ain't, blah, blah, blah. Oh, she did you, dog, blah, blah, blah. No, you are never justified in that. Why? Because that's God's child, too. Even if they're behaving poorly, that's God's child as well. You know, we can't sit here and talk about the power of our word. We're the great I am, the commanding of our spirit, and then we're going to use that same mouth and that same passionate energy and curse this person and diminish this person and create all of these crazy feelings in ourselves behind this breakup. I can tell you, one, it's not worth it. I can tell you that it's, you know, as spiritualists, it's not what is desired. Don't forget, people are always looking at us for examples. They're looking at us, hey, how is Mom and Seven going to handle this? How is Sister So-and-so going to handle that? Because if you break out and start cussing, they're going to question you, even when you flip that switch and be like, oh, yes, I'm the Saint Mama Seven again. They'll be, no, you're not. No, you're not. I know how to provoke you. I have seen the devil provoke you. So how in the world are you going to be the same Mama Seven? Either that Mama Seven must not be working very much. So right after that romantic breakup, please guard your tongue. Please. That is a great, the devil is just sitting there waiting. He's sitting there with the tape recorder aimed at your mouth. Can you say it a little louder? Can you speak it to the mic? What happened? Really? No. You still, in the meantime, have to be kind and considerate even when you are hurting. You still, I will kindly wish you well on your way over there. That, I'm not saying you got to still share your space. I'm not saying you got to be in people's space. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, because our heart may be hurting, does not justify at any time allowing those things to take over us. Not at all. Sorry. I told you it was going to be a rough show. Okay. All right. Phase number three, where the meantime is. So we spoke, number one, about it being part of life. We spoke, number two, about that meantime right after romantic breakup. And then number three, oh my goodness, in that longing for a romantic relationship. This is dangerous stuff I'm talking about, family. The meantime is foggy. It stinks. I mean, literally, it does not smell good. It does not smell like flowers and perfume. And No, it stinks. It's foggy. It's hot and muggy. It's just like pea soup and not good seasoning. You know, it's not good. It's not fun. But again, sometimes it's a necessary part of what we're going through. And once you have gone through something the correct way, you can be free of it, okay? So this meantime, when we're longing for a romantic relationship, situationship, whatever, it's so dangerous. Because right here is where I find a lot of us, to logic. We stop listening to our peers. We stop listening to even our elders. You know, we stop listening. We become, right here in this longing place, we're longing. We become over-focused on lack. And when you are over-focused on lack, when you are over-focused on what you don't have as opposed to what you do have, you become blinded to what you actually do have. You see what I'm saying? When you are focusing on, I wish I had this, why can't I get that, I would be better if I could, you then lose focus on what you do have. And that can be very, very dangerous. Why? Because when you are focusing on lack, whatever you focus on, that's what you get. Whatever you focus on. So if you want to focus on the heartache, that's what you'll get. You can literally wake up and experience this heartache over and over and over every day, new aspects of it. If you wake up and you're like, man, I'm lonely. I need this. I need that. Then guess what we're producing? We're producing more of what we're focusing on. Because the universe, of course, responds to a frequency. So whatever frequency we got going up, that's what we got coming down. As above, so below. This is mathematics at its best. Okay? So while we're here, we can't be focusing on what we don't have. All right? Another problem with being in this part of the meantime is we get jumpy. Ooh-wee. You know, we start to think, oh, I'm not going to get another opportunity. You know, I'm getting older every day. Guess what? Everybody's getting older every day. But when you're in this longing place, you're really getting older every day, you know. And so what happens is we start to either jump at the first thing we see or we regress into an old thing that we already know is not good for us, but we're allowing fear to dictate what we're doing. And so we're getting jumpy. You know, I feel like I have to jump. I have to be somewhere. I can't be in this waiting room. I have to move. And that is getting us into this place where, you know, that logic's turned off. You know, this is getting us to the place where we believe our ends justifies our means. And one last other thing I saw that was dangerous in this longing place is we start to doubt our worth right here. To me, in the longing, this is when that doubt starts to kick in real strong. When we start to say, are my standards too high? You know, well, you know, maybe I didn't give it the old college try for the 15th time. Maybe I need to try again one more time. And I'm like, girl, you ain't got no PhD. You ain't got to keep giving it that many tries. You know, but this is where we start to doubt our worth. We start to doubt our ability to gain love. And this usually doesn't deal with the love that we're giving. This deals with us feeling love from others. And I have to go with feeling. I have to say that because sometimes we're getting love. It just may not look the way we thought it was going to look. And it may not feel the way we thought it was going to feel, and therefore it puts us in this place where it's hard for us to recognize it. So the meantime focuses more on the receiving aspect. We're not even thinking about the giving part, right? And the last place I saw in this meantime, and when I say this is like so disrespectful, and I apologize in advance, but this meantime exists while we're in toxic and dysfunctional relationships. And I know you're like, but Mama Seven, we're talking about, you know, wanting love, wanting romantic relationship, wanting partnership. How can that exist while we're in a toxic/dysfunctional relationship? Unfortunately, it does. You know, some of us, it exists in those places where one or both persons have mentally/emotionally checked out of the relationship. So if your mind is not in this relationship, if your heart is not in this relationship, but you are physically in a relationship, or you have not mentally allowed yourself to move on, you are in the meantime. And again, I think this is a very dangerous aspect of the meantime because you're stuck. is not allowing you to move forward or fall back. You're literally stuck. So that means you're not getting the healing that you need. That means you're not moving forward and allowing time, space, distance to help you in your healing process. And you're not moving closer together because now the meantime is in this relationship. You know, it's like trying to give a hug while you have a two-year-old in front of you, okay? This two-year-old is in, you're like, will you move? And the answer is no, they're not. But when you're in this toxic, dysfunctional relationship and you have moved into the meantime, you are not progressing, growing, healing. Everyone is supposed to be evolving, whether you're in the meantime or not. Everyone's supposed to be evolving. You are responsible for growing. You're responsible for growing more each day today than you did yesterday, period. So if you're stuck, then guess what? You're not even doing your God responsibilities. You're just sitting there. And it's nice to sit here and blame other people, but honestly, we're talking about you, the individual. You are in the meantime, right? So those were the four areas that when I went into this meantime and looked around, now guess what? No one goes in the meantime voluntarily, and no one looks around. No one takes the time to look up and be like, is this really the devil or am I just uncomfortable? I can guarantee you it's discomfort. You know, no one wants to go in here and really say, okay, how did I get here? I can promise you your 2 feet that you walk on took you there. But how did I get here mentally, emotionally? A lot of time we have shame will lead us here. Guilt will lead us here. Not just lead you there, make you sit down, throw away the key. You know, we've got to be able to be in this meantime without the negativity to it. And so this is why we have to have this conversation. And this is not a comfortable conversation. Let me say all of these mean times are hard on the heart. So if you ever wake up and sometimes just feel heavy, if you ever wake up and just have your heart, you know, just long, throb, and you're like, man, what is wrong with me? Your heart is going through this battle. And I'm telling you, as a thinker, I'm a thinker. Oh, I can think myself away. I can think myself, how do I do this? How do I do that? I can make a game plan. I can do this. I can do that. But I promise you the meantime is difficult. All right? And healing, and Sister Unique went into this. She started this. Healing is a necessary part of getting out of the meantime. The meantime doesn't just disappear. It doesn't. Let me tell you some other things that are hidden in that meantime. Depression, poor health habits, overeating, undereating, not exercising, any of the extremes. Poor coping skills is riddled in that meantime. So, you know, I don't know if you ever seen anybody in a doctor's office and they're biting their nails and they're shaking their leg and they're going through all these head changes. And you're like, oh, my God, what are you waiting on? But the meantime has some pretty mean coping skills in there, too. You know, I have found that people in the meantime drink a little bit more than what they should. They're looking for other coping mechanisms to help them because they don't realize, oh, wait a minute, no one's looking around. Remember I just said no one's looking around to see, hey, wait a minute. We have major slipped into dysfunction right here. You know, I don't know how many people in your relationship do you actually wake up and say, hey, head, are you in this relationship? Are you building with this person? Are you doing this? How many of us ask our heart, hey, heart, are you in this relationship? Do you trust this person? Are you seeing them with yourself? How many people ask their spirit, are you connected to this person? Is this your person that you took before God and said, yes, this is going to be my person? So sometimes if you don't do those things, and if you don't do them regularly, you may be in the meantime and not realize it. You're just there getting tired. I'm going to tell you this, and I say this with full love, and I mean love for me, love for you, love for all of us going through this, right? At this point in the meantime, you need some help. Period. If you've gotten to this point in the meantime where you can see and say, oh, I'm disconnected, but I'm still here. Mm-mm. If you can look at this and say, oh, no, you know, I can see I'm in the middle of a life challenge and I'm by myself, which is adding to my lesson. At this point, you need some help. You know, we need some help. We need some help. We need to... and no one likes getting help. I don't know many people who do. You know, we may like the end result of the help, but sitting there, having to be patient in the middle of it, no one likes that. But if you wish and desire to survive this meantime, it's time to ask for some help. Okay, so one, understand, it's not easy asking for help. No one wants to be in that vulnerable spot. Sometimes, and I have seen this, I have seen people, help is right there, but they don't want to expose that they need the help. So they'll sink deeper into a corner, or they'll move to another part of the meantime. You're like, oh, I'm going to go into this room, so maybe they won't see me. No, we do see you. And our heart aches for you. So come forward. But it's hard. It's hard. It's not easy admitting you need the help. Forget asking for it. Before you can ask for something, you must be able to acknowledge, hey, I need some help. I know I personally have gone to my accountability partner and said, hey, if I ever say X, Y, and Z, please come get me. Please come get me. There is something wrong. Don't let me walk down this street. Those words coming out of my mouth are clear indications that something is wrong. Come get me. How much, when I say I need help and I don't like it, but I still need it, so I'm going to ask to the point where I have to give certain people permission to speak to me, even if I don't want them to. Do you hear what I'm saying? I have to tell my accountability partners, hey, you know, I'm raising my hand. I'm waving my white flag. And, of course, the first person I tell, and not really a person, but the first energy, entity, understanding, first place I go is God. Before I let it slip out of my mouth to any person, I go to God. God, oh, my God, this is hurting. That's how I start off. When I'm going through this, when I'm feeling this, when I'm stuck in this meantime, when I've hit the corner where the longing is and you get jumping, when you're in the middle of a relationship, and you can know it's toxic, you know, you're toxic. The fact that anytime those words come out your mouth means this, you have identified a place that you need to run from, literally. So when I go to God, oh, God, this hurts. oh, God, this is heavy. God, I can't quite see my way through. And the reason why I say this, just like this, because, one, it's true. It's true. All those words be true. And then, two, I am acknowledging to myself that I'm in a place where I need some divine guidance. I need some help. And I'm not afraid to ask, you know, because God knows everything about me. I've already spoken to God about these plans that just went down the toilet and broke my heart. So God already knows about this. I haven't been keeping anything from God. So by the time I get to this point where I'm really weary, God already knows that too, because he saw me constantly trying, building, working, not achieving the goal that I wanted. And God knows me because I know him, because we have a relationship. So when I get to this point and I'm like, God, I need some help, he already knows. He already has people set up to assist me. He already has situations laid out to clear the meantime, that fog away from my eyes, and be like, now can you see? I'm like, oh yeah, I can see. All right, now do you want to still be here? No, I do not. Okay, come with me. Take my hand. Come with me. So in order to get that help, after you've gone to God, I'm telling you, going to God solves 100% of the problems 100% of the time. And it makes you more aware of when that assistance is coming. You're already being, it's like having the cabbie come for you. You know the cabbie's coming for you, but you're like, hey, yeah, I'm the one. I'm not going to let anybody get in front of me. You know, I know this is my cab. God said, I sent a cab for you. I know this is my cab. But when he comes, I'm going to move like, hey, I'm your person. You're here to get me. All right? In this meantime, when we're there, spend the time getting to know how you need help, okay? So because I'm Little Miss Independent, because my triple Sag and my natal chart and all this Sag and Aries and Taurus energy got me built different, I'm not going to accept help any old kind of way. Don't come over here and try to do what I'm doing. I'm like, I already got this part. That's not what I need help in. So think about how you need help. What do you need? So when God sends you your help, you can actually say, hey, let me tell you what I need help in. I need help in getting to the movies on Friday. I need to get out the house. I need to do some adulting. I need to have some fun. Can you please help me with that? Be patient with me. You know, I may want to cancel in your time or two, but I need your help in that area. All right? Know that if you need help in fellowshipping, tell someone, hey, I need help just getting out there. I want to spend more time with people my age and everything else as my children grow and or have already left the house. You know, I need a little help in this area. Be open-minded to receiving help and love in different formats than what you may have originally stated. I remember I was doing some counseling for a sister. It was just last week. And I remember sharing with her, hey, you know, you need to write down this list of the things that you need for your me time. And she told me, oh, you already said that. And I did it 2 years ago. And I said, okay, that was wonderful 2 years ago. But what in your life has changed in 2 years? She said, well, this changed. And she gave me a nice long list of all the things that she thought she had changed. I said, well, don't you think that that list needs to change as well? Don't you think that as you are growing and changing, that your needs and wants are growing and changing? Don't you believe that, you know, even we're dealing with this love in the meantime, love in the meantime means something different for a 30-year-old than as it does a 40-year-old, than as it does a 50-year-old in continuing. So don't hesitate, even if you're like, oh, mom said, I've already done it, do it again. Let's spend some time thinking about what do you need out of love? What do you think you need? Because there was a time where I rattled it off. Well, I know exactly what I need. I need, you know, masculine representation for my children. I need this. I need that. I had a whole list of things that I need. At 50, that list has changed, as it should. As it should. So if my needs have changed and I have changed, I've grown in the last 2 years, and I reminded the sister she has grown in the last 2 years, then, hey, your mean time has grown. Your mean time has changed. The things that you thought you just couldn't wait on, you couldn't resist, now when I get to that waiting room, I got my own book. I know I don't like their magazines. I know I'm not going to sit there and read those same old Washington Post, whatever. I'm not going to do it. I brought my own book because my brain has taught me that this mean time is not the devil. Sometimes it's an opportunity. My brain has taught me that this mean time is not personal, but yet can be very necessary in my own growth and development. So rather than to be impatient in it, because I have found the hard way that impatient doesn't really change anything. Impatient just means that you're irritated as you wait. That's all it means. Now I know I'm just going to bring a book. I'm just going to bring a bottle of water and some graham crackers. You know, I'm going to bring something to occupy myself, my energy, my time, because mean time doesn't have to mean time. It could just be me time. Okay? So I hope there's so many hearts out here that are hurting. There's so many. I have so many sisters and brothers, triple more sisters, that are really feeling the pain of alone, of being alone, of being in this mean time, and so much is painful right there. And so I really, really wanted to take a moment to share how I manage this mean time. I wanted to share the idea and fact that mean time is not forever, and it's not always a reflection of you. Sometimes we are put in the mean time just so we can practice / show others how to come out of the mean time. Don't forget, we're always creating, especially in these spiritual houses. Understand, if you're in a spiritual house that's more than 3 years old, you are actually an old head. Spirituality is becoming a very new trend, and I think it's a positive trend, right? But if you've been in a house that's been in existence for some time, you really begin to understand how much of an example we're setting for others. So we can't set this fake example that the mean time doesn't exist. That's a false narrative. That's untrue. The mean time exists and does not discriminate. So everyone at one point in their time in their life will have to go through this mean time. The thing that makes us spiritually aware and spiritually strong is how we handle the meantime. Okay? That's our difference. Through it, be brave, make your notes. Lord knows I made lots and lots of notes, because I definitely, as I think about all of those that will mimic us, I want to make sure that we're showing the right things and we're doing this in the right energy. Okay? So moving into prayer, even in the meantime, there's prayer. How about this? Especially in the meantime, there's prayer. You know, this is when you can really double down You know, you may not be in the relationship you want with a person, but thank God, God is always there. God is always waiting. You know, we should all be in a relationship, an active relationship with God, and we should be thinking of who else could join us in this relationship with God. But this relationship with God is constant. That doesn't change. Loving relationship with God. As we're sitting here taking all of this examples from God, God gives us all these examples of how to be in relationship, how to be patient and kind, how to be loving, how to make sure that we are being the best that we can be in this relationship with God. I'm going to suggest that you pray. I'm going to suggest that you continue to build. I'm going to suggest that you allow yourself to fully be in this relationship with God, because when you're in the relationship with God, you won't, the meantime is not even there. It turns into me time. Me, it turns into me in time, not me time. Okay? So, moving into prayer, Father, Mother, God, thank you for the strength to get past this moment to create a clear, new, loving moment so that we could grow and build there. God, I want to thank you for always watching and shielding our heart, you know, encasing it in lungs and ribs and all these other protective measures, for it is soft and it is fragile and it is open to harm. God, please continue to guide us along the steps that have the best places for us to be. Don't leave us to the recesses within our own minds where we create these negative understandings for ourselves. God, please continue to show us the way to manage ourselves, our thoughts, our emotions, our behaviors, so that we can be positive representations of you, positive representations of life, positive representations of how love and positivity can be. God, please allow for that healing to flow through us like ripples on the pond, so that we can begin to have this healing reach down to people. Please allow all of these childhood wounds that stay ever present to be lessened and to be have healing created for them, so that they can become lessened and not the trauma wounds that they have been holding us back in our relationships. God, please allow those, all those that are to be the example, to grow from the example, please allow them the opportunity to see what is possible through the relationship with you, God, and how all of these hurts can disappear when we focus on ourselves and focus on healing. God, I ask this for myself, for my family, for all of my sisters and my brothers that are going through this painful moment right now. I know that you have the ability to heal us. I sit back in need of healing as we go forward, knowing that it's already there. Amen, amen, amen.